Boker Tov, and welcome again to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. We're in Vamot, in the seventh parak on Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We're about to start Mishnah Gimel, which is near the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. We will study that Mishnah in the attendant Gemara, and then Mishnah Dalet and the first few clauses in Mishnah Dalet. On the handout, I did not represent the entire Mishnah, and the rest of it will be represented on the next handout. Bat Yisrael Shniseit LeKohen Umeit. So here is the consideration. As you see in perusing the psukim on top of the page, if a Bat Yisrael marries a Kohen, she can eat truma, as we've already discussed. If he dies and she has no children, then she is no longer connected to the kahuna and cannot eat. If, on the other hand, he dies and leaves her with a child who is a Kohen, then she can eat. What is the status if he dies and leaves her pregnant? Right. Bat Yisrael, without other children. She said, "Lekohen umeit v'nicham uberet lo yochlu avadeh b'truma nechal koshel ubar." In other words, the ubar, the fetus, his role in the Yerusha is going to prevent the avadim and also her from eating, as we will see. Shahubar posel ve'ino ma'achil, divrei Rabbi Yossi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, who will be our main focus of attention in the Gemara, who says that the ubar can invalidate, and what that means is if a bat kohen marries a Yisrael, and he dies or divorces her, and leaving her pregnant, then the ubar keeps her from going back to her father's house and eating truma, to go back to her father's house, but she cannot be fully returned and eat truma. But eino ma'achil, but on the other hand, the ubar of a kohen in the womb of a bat Yisrael does not give her the opportunity to eat. That's Rabbi Yossi. Amrulo. So now the Chachamim responded to him as follows. Me'achar she'atad on a bat Yisrael lekohen, af bat kohen lekohen, umeit. So they said back to him, and it's somewhat of a reductive argument. Now that you're testifying, we'll see why they use the word testifying in the Gemara. Now that you're testifying to us about a Bat Yisrael who married a Kohen, the same should be true even about a Bat Kohen who married a Kohen. V'nicham u'beret, and he died leaving her pregnant. Lo yochlu avadeh b'trum nechal koshul ubar. Her avadim should not be able to eat truma because there is still the chelik of the ubar, and the ubar's presence is not strong enough to be able to allow her to eat, and therefore avadim to eat. On the other hand, his presence is there to get in the way, as we said. Now, Bialu, time of Yossi, Mishum the Kasavar, Ubar Bime Zara, Zarhu, Adum Yulun Machil, Shane Yulun Eno Machil. We conceptually try to frame Rabbi Yossi's approach in one of two ways. Either it is because Ubar Bime Zara Zarhu, that the Ubar takes on the identity of the host mother until it's born, which means that the Kohen's seed inside is Yisrael's wife, has a deen of a Yisrael until it's born. And a Yisrael cannot be a generator of eating truma. Oh, Dilma Yulun Machil, Shena Yulun Eino Machil. Or perhaps it is because only someone that is born is Machil. When they're not yet born, they're not Machil. And of course, what's the nafkamina between those two? Nafkamina l'ubar mimei kohenet. If you have a bat kohen who has an ubar from a kohen, if you say that the issue is ubar mimei zara zarhu, that follows the host mother, here she's a Kohanet, and therefore she'd be able to eat truma. If, on the other hand, you say, Yalud Machil, Sheino Yalud, Eino Machil, then this is Sheino Yalud. And she's somewhat caught between two perspectives. She can't go back to her father's house because she's pregnant. On the other hand, she can't eat from her husband's house because the child's not yet born. So let's see how this is dealt with. My. Amar Rabba, Hainu Taimed, Rabbi Yossi, the Kusavar, Ubmai Zara Zarhu. Rabba says, simply, Rabbi Yossi's approach is that then Ubar takes on the identity of the host mother, and therefore, in our case in the Mishnah, it has the identity of Yisrael before it's born, and therefore, there's nothing to generate her or her slaves eating. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Yulud Machil, Shein Yulud, Eino Machil. Rabbi Yosef disagrees and says that Rabbi Yossi's reason is because anything that is not yet born is not Machil, which would mean even if she was a Kohanet, it would be the same case. Now, Meitevei. Now, following in our Mishnah, if you recall, in our Mishnah, the Chachamim responded with something of reductio, saying, even if it was a Kohanet, we don't hear Rabbi Yossi's response. In a Braita, we do. So in the version in the Braita, they didn't challenge him. They simply said, okay, now that you've said what you've said about a Bat Yisrael the Kohen, what would you say about a Bat Kohen the Kohen? And Amar Lahem, Zu Shamati, Zu Lo Shamati. He says, I only heard about a Bat Yisrael the Kohen. I didn't hear about a Bat Kohen the Kohen. In other words, he doesn't see it automatically as the same case, which would seem to recommend Rabba's position that it's based on the host mother. Now, why he says Shamati and Lo Shamati and Hayarata and these words, we'll see in a moment. If you are like Rabba, that the issue is the host mother, that's why he said, look, I can't testify, but more than I heard. I only heard about it by Yisrael the Kohen, and I can't equate the two. But if you're going to see the reason is because the fetus can only generate eating once it's born, then my Zu Shamati Vizu Lo Shamati. Why does he say I only heard about this case and not about the other case? It's the same exact case. Because in that case, we don't really care who the host mother is, whether she's a Kohanet or a Bat Yisrael. She is only eating mitzad, her now-deceased husband. And if the issue is she'eno yalud, eino ma'achil, then the child isn't yet born, and they wouldn't eat, and it wouldn't matter whether she was a Kohanet or Bat Yisrael. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi should have said, the same exact thing applies. Because what I heard didn't distinguish between one kind of mother or another. It must be that it's the issue that she's about Yisrael, and the Ubar takes on the identity of the mother. Good. Now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Zuti v'Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel said, this halacha is the version of Rabbi Yossi. V'chachomim omim yesh lo banim ochlim mishum banim. Chachomim said differently. They said, if this man had sons, so the wife's servants would eat on account of those sons. If not, then those servants are going to be inherited by his brothers who are Kohanim, and they'll eat because of that. If not, they'll ultimately get inherited somewhere within the man's paternal family, as is the deed of Yerusha, and they'll eat because of that. So one way or the other, they continue eating truma, even though the master died. Now, Shmuel said, Zu divrei Rabbi Yossi, but the Chachamim disagreed and said, if he leaves her pregnant, the Avadim continue to eat Truma because of one of these other heirs. Zu velo svira leisu. Shmuel said, Zu divrei Rabbi Yossi, that means that's what Rabbi Yossi thinks, but I don't accept it, I buy Chachamim. Ha'amar leShmuel, Rav Chana Bigdata, the famous case where Shmuel told his student from Baghdad, Rav Chana, go outside and get me 10 people so I can publicize this halacha. I will teach you in the presence, so they'll all know that if you acquire something on behalf of an Ubar, it's a valid acquisition. What's the upshot of that? It means that an Ubar really does have a separate identity, and therefore that means that the halacha seems to be like Rabbi Yossi, that the Ubar's presence is problematic, and we can't just ignore it as the Chacham seem to, which means Shmuel seems to accept Rabbi Yossi. Elazu svirale. So when Shmuel said Zu divrei Rabbi Yossi, what he meant was to affirm that's the halacha. Chacham disagree, but I paskan like Rabbi Yossi. So now my kamash malan. So what's Shmuel telling us when he says Zu divrei Rabbi Yossi ama chacham momri? If he holds like Rabbi Yossi, he should just say that's the halacha. So the pliki rabbanon alei Rabbi Yossi. He's teaching us that the rabbanon disagreed with Rabbi Yossi by saying ama chacham momri when they disagree. So umi pliki. Since when did they disagree? It was now we're challenging Shmuel's record and sort of challenging our Mishnah's record that says that the Chacham disagreed with Rabbi Yossi, although in our Mishnah it's not so clear they disagreed. They just seem to be challenging his reasoning. But Shmuel explicitly said the Chacham disagreed. Since when could he say that? Armeti Rabbi Zakkai, Zu Edut. Here we go. This is the reason that I harped on the issue of Shamati and Hayarata. Zu Edut Eyu Rabbi Yossi Pishmaeva Avtalyon. I have to clarify something. Rabbi Yossi lived in the latter half of the second century. Shmaya v'Avtalion lived close to 200 years earlier. So Rabbi Yossi is not testifying about something that he heard directly from Shmaya v'Avtalion, who were the teachers of Hillel. But rather, he's testifying to a tradition that he says dates back to Shmaya v'Avtalion, that evidently he heard from probably Rabbi Akiva, or probably from Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Yeshua, who very likely heard it from a student of Beit Hillel, heard it from Hillel himself, who heard it from Shmaya v'Avtalion. So it's a tradition that Rabbi Yossi testified that a Bat Yisrael, a Kohen, when the kohen died and left her pregnant without other children, that her avadim don't eat until the child is born. That was his testimony. V'hodulo. And the chachamim accepted it. Accepted it, we assume, means that they agreed. Amravashi miktani v'kiblu. No, it doesn't. Rabbi Yosef says, read carefully. It doesn't say they accepted the ruling. V'hodulo. They acceded to him, meaning tani v'stamer tame. In other words, they said, you've got good reasoning. It doesn't mean we agree with you in halacha, but your reasoning is good and your testimony is worthy of consideration. Good. So now what we have is as follows. Shmuel said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Now this is all based on the notion of mezuk mzaka l'ubar lokana, but the Gemara in Ketubot very explicitly says, in practice, a mzaka l'ubar lokana, and an ubar really does not have a separate identity, and therefore we in the end actually do not accept Rabbi Yossi la halacha. And if he leaves her pregnant, then the avadim will continue eating. The question is, her status a different story. But in the meantime, Shmuel's statement within Shmuel's world, Zu divrei Rabbi Yossi, means that this is what Rabbi Yossi ruled, and indeed I accept it, and indeed the Chachamim did disagree, although they confirmed his reasoning as being solid reasoning. Good. Tanu Rabbanan. So now let's see this braita. Hiniach banim. Let's say that the kohen died and left sons. So elu ve'elu ochlin. Both avde malog and avde tzon barzel eat truma. Hinicha mu'uberet. If he left her pregnant without children, elu ve'elu ein ochlin. This, of course, is Rabbi Yossi. Hiniach banim v'nicha mu'uberet. Let's say he left her pregnant, but there were other sons. Avde malog ochlin k'derach she ochel. After all, she can continue to eat because she has other living sons who are generating her eating. And therefore, her avadim, the avde malog, continue to eat. Avde tzon barzel, which we discussed malog and tzon barzel in the previous podcast, lo yochlu. Why? Because they really belong to the man's estate. Nechal koshel ubar, because the ubar really owns part of these avadim, but the ubar himself cannot generate eating because he's not yet born. And therefore, his chelek interferes with their ability to eat. Truma. Why? Shavar posel v'enu machil. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Now, this is one version of Rabbi Yossi, the Tanakhama reports. And the split is between Avdei Malog and Avdei Tzon Barzel, if he left her pregnant, but also with living children. Now, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, in the name of his father, meaning a second version of Rabbi Yossi, Habat Machelet Habeinino Machil. We'll take a look at this in a minute. But the literal translation is that if there is a girl around, then the avadim will eat, and he doesn't distinguish between two different kinds of avadim. And if there's a son around, then the avadim won't eat, which sounds counterintuitive, and we'll clarify. Shem ben Yochai omeres charim yochlu kulan nekevot lo yochlu. Shema yimatzei ubar zachar ve'en lebanot makom ha'ben klu. Shem ben Yochai says as follows, and this seems more comfortable, that if there are living boys around, then the avadim all eat, but if all there are living girls, then they cannot eat. Why? Because this child may turn out to be a son, and if the boy and if the ubar is a son, then the girls no longer have any ownership, because whenever there is a son, the girls don't inherit. All right? And therefore, he said, if all there are is girls, and the woman is pregnant when the man dies, then the Avadim, both Son Barzel and Malog, of the woman, do not eat. Good. Okay, so now let's analyze this. First, let's analyze Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's statement, the final statement. Why do you have to posit that maybe the fetus will be a boy, and that will scotch the girl's chelak? Typically, the Nekeva Nami Pasla, after all, even if it's a girl, she'll be posel, because if she's a girl, that means they're all girls, and that means they're all going to be heirs, and that means that one of the heirs is a fetus who interferes with the completion of the inheritance or of the ownership. The answer is, you're right. Chada v'od kamar. There are two different reasons. We picked one. Chada the nekeva namapasli. First of all, even if she was a girl, she'd be posa. The od shema yimatzei ubar zachar v'demarot malkom ha'ben klum. Good. And the other reason is because if it turns out to be a boy, then the girls have nothing. But even if it turns out to be a girl, and they're all girls dividing, then one of them in the meantime is an ubar, or an ubar really, and until she's born, she cannot generate the avadim eating. Now, the zcharim yochlu, this is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion, that if they're all boys, then the avadim can eat. Ay, vayika ubar, why? There's still an ubar. The ubar might turn out to be a boy and he'll have a chelek. So you have to remember statistic probability. Statistic probability is that a woman will give birth to a live child. Only a minimum, minority of women miscarry. A minority of pregnancies are miscarried. However, because the distribution of males and females is roughly 50-50, and there is also the consideration of miscarriage, the chances that a woman will give birth to a living boy is less than 50%. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Ein choshin l'miyuta." In other words, if a woman is pregnant in such a way that the only thing that's going to scotch things if she gives birth to a living boy, that's less than 50%, and therefore we're not choshesh for that miyut. It's very interesting considering that it's a pretty big miyut. It's not a 2%, it's like 45%. Nonetheless, we go by majority. The majority is that this child will not interfere. Either it'll be a girl or it'll miss, or she'll miscarry. Now, it's possible that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai would say that we are concerned about a miyut, certainly a miyut like this. There's a famous ruling of Shmuel that Rav Nachman quotes about how to deal with orphans and the execution of their property. A man dies and he leaves orphans and they are minors. The Beit Din sets up an executor and he divides up as wisely as he can so that each one gets an appropriate piece. And then when they reach majority, they can then turn around and say, we don't like that division and we can change it. But that means that in the meantime, the division itself is valid. Parenthetically, and this is an important sugi in Gittin, Nachman says to maintain the credibility of the Beit Din and the integrity of the Beit Din, we say that since we appointed the executor, his decisions are final, and when they reach majority, they cannot change the ruling. But this is, of course, a consideration of social policy, as it were. In any case, Lema de Rav Nachman Tanaihi, perhaps this ruling of Nachman is itself the Machloket Tanaim in our Braita. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that that I accept Rav Nachman, and therefore within Rav Nachman's world, based on Rav Nachman's takana, that the zecharim are already holding their portion. So even if the one born is a zechar, so he already has a pre-divided portion. And his presence is not a conflict for us. It's not a problem for us, right? And we'll say that Tanakama, with the two versions of Rabbi Yossi, do not accept Rav Nachman and say that the presence of the Ubar really does interfere. We don't like that because we'd rather not have Shmuel's ruling here be subject to Machloket Tanaim. So lo dechuli alma idlohu de Rav Nachman, right? We already accept Rav Nachman. V'hachal choshen l'miyuta can be palgin. Indeed, the Machloket is whether choshen l'miyuta. The Rabbi Yossi, according to both versions, is choshesh l'miyuta to the possibility that this child born will be a living son. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, I'm not concerned with that. So if the living children who are already around are sons, any of them are sons, that's good enough, and the avadim can continue eating. Now, Rav Shimon Bar Yossi, remember, Shum Aviv, habat ma'achelet, haben eno ma'achil. So we have this strange version of Rav Shimon Bar Yossi. He says if it's a girl, then the avadim eat, and if it's a boy, the avadim don't eat. And ma'ishna ben de lo ma'achil, wa mishum chalko shalubar? He's saying if it's a living son, he can't feed because there's also the fetus that might also be a son, and that means that the Yerush is not complete. Bat nami lo tachem nechako shalubar. So the bat also, and in the case of the bat, it's double, because no matter what the ubar is, as long as it's alive, it's going to interfere with her Yerusha. Either it's going to share if it's a girl, or it's going to trumpet if it's a boy. We're talking about a case, and this is in the fourth paragraph of the vote, where the estate is very limited, and it's so limited that it's going to, based on the takana of the Rabbanan, it's going to come to the girls. The girls inherit, and the boys have to go out and work or beg or whatever. We're going to Ika ben Bahadi Bat. So there's a boy and a girl. Manafshach. I hai de ma'abra benu. So now let's take a look at it. If the Ubar turns out to be a son, Lo adif mehai dekai, he's no better than the son who's already alive, who's not going to inherit. E bati, and if it's a girl, amai achla betakonta de rabbanan, kamen lo nafik lavir alolam tokin rabbanan. And the rabbanan who established the rule that a that the girls, in the case of a limited estate, the girls inherit, only made that rule for girls who are already born. And therefore, if this fetus turns out to be a girl, well, in the meantime, she's not a player until she's born. So that means if you have a living boy and a living girl and then a fetus, according to this Takanat d'Rabbanan, if the estate has limited resources, depending on what the shear is, then indeed the girl will inherit, the boy will not inherit, and then no matter what the fetus is, it won't interfere. And so that's why Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says what he does, the dafka, as I said, counterintuitively, if it's a girl, then the aladim could continue to eat. Now, is that really going to stand the test? Take a look at the end of the Brayta, Rishon Bar-Yochai's wording. He says the concern is that the child might end up being a boy, and if there's a boy, then the girls don't inherit, which means we're talking about a case of nechasim merubim, a normal estate. Adav nechasim muatim debaron ninu. The answer is seifa atam nechasim merubim. So you're right. The seifa, the end of the Brayta, is referring to a case about nechasim merubim, but that's a little bit difficult to say that the case is switched in the middle. Nechasim muatim debaron ninu. And parenthetically, are we going to say that in the case of a limited estate, the girls really are heirs? They're not really heirs. If the boys, in the case of a limited inheritance, go ahead and sell their portion before anybody acts, then the sale is valid. They really are the owners. It's just takana drabanan to give them food, the money to the girls so that they can stay in, and the boys will go out and work. So then what is the bat that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said? He meant aim. Bat here is not a daughter, but rather a girl, meaning the mother. Meaning, Yachi Hainu Rabbi Yossi. So that's the same thing as Rabbi Yossi, saying that the mother feeds, meaning she feeds her Nichse Melog, and the sons don't feed, meaning that they don't feed the Nichse Tzon Barzel. So the answer is Kula Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Ktani La. You're right, that the entire first section is Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi using the one version of Rabbi Yossi and then clarifying that the bat, meaning the mother, is machelet, meaning she's machelet nifse melog, which belongs to her, and the banim, meaning the living children that are around, are not machelet son barzel because of chelko shalubar. So, okay, now the next Mishnah, and again, we're only going to do a few clauses here. The next Mishnah is a list of, and we're not even going to read the whole Mishnah, of the those who interfere with achila truma. Ha'ubar, and we've already seen that, a fetus, va'yavam, see what that means, va'erusin, a betrothal, v'achereish, and a deaf mute, right? Uven teisha shanim v'yom achad, which you won't get today, poslim v'lo ma'achilin. We won't even touch the rest of the Mishnah. We'll go back to it in the next podcast. Good. Ha'ubar, what's that? It's very simple. Ibar koin li'Yisrael. If you have a bat koin who married Yisrael and she's pregnant, and then the Yisrael dies, so he pasul la mi bin genurah. If you look at the pasuk, it says that if a bat koin marries a Yisrael and then he dies, and she has no children, she goes back as in the days of her youth. Problem muberet. She's a muberet. She's carrying a child. She's not, you can't go back to like the days of her youth. Ibat Yisrael the Kohen, he lo machil, yulud machil, shenu yulud eno machil. If on the other end it's about Yisrael the Kohen, she cannot eat until the child is born, and then through the child she's eating. So either way, if she's pregnant, in either direction, about Yisrael the Kohen or about Kohen the Yisrael, she's not going to eat. Now Hayavam, play the same thing out. E bat koin li Yisrael he pasila. If it's a bat koin who fell to Yisrael, so it's pasila because of a shaval beit avia. What she's supposed to do when her husband dies, she goes back to her husband's house if she doesn't have children. Here she can't go back to her father's house. Sorry, to her father's house. She can't go back to her father's house because she has Zika. Right? Patashom et Yavam. E bat Yisrael a koin he, but let's say it was a bat Yisrael married a koin. The koin died, she fell to his brother. Lo machila, why? Because the Torah says kinyan kasbo. You feed the one that you acquired. Amar Achmanav HaKinyan Achivu. This girl was acquired by the brother who was deceased, so there's nobody to be ma'achil her until the Kohen does Yibum, in which case she would eat the Koach, her new husband. Harrison, how does Harrison work? Ibad Kohen Yisrael, let's say it's about Kohen who got betrothed to Yisrael. So Pasala da Kanya Bahavaya. He was Kohen Bikidushin, and she now has become Tehiel the non Kohen. Bat Yisrael a coin. Let's say it's a Bat Yisrael married a coin. Now this is a tricky case. Hilo ma'achil amishum de'ula. It's machloket in Gemara and Kiddushin about whether a non-Kohenet who accepts Erusin from a Kohen, whether Midoraita she doesn't eat Truma, or whether she really Midoraita she eats Truma, and whether the limitation on letting her eat Truma is a concern to Rabbanan. And so we're here quoting Ula, who said the real concern is she's still living at home, so she's going to take some of her Truma cereal and feed it to her little brother and to her sisters, who are not allowed to eat, and therefore we say she cannot eat Midrabanan, she cannot eat until she enters her husband's house. The last one is a Chereish. It's important to note, and this is something we'll touch on later on in the Masecha towards the end, and also in Gittin, in the fifth parak, and that is the status of Kiddushei Chereish. Remember, Chereish, the times of the Gemara, was considered to be somebody who was a Lav Bar Dat. Many poskim in our day deal with a Chereish, a deaf mute, differently because of the educability. But a Chereish was considered to be Lav Bar Dat. And yet you have Chereshim. We're able to understand the mechanics and the nuances, etc., of a proper relationship. We did not want them to be abused and abandoned. And therefore, the Rabbanan set up Kiddushin, which are the Rabbanan, Kiddushei Chereish. So now, a Chereish cannot eat Truma in this circumstance. Let's see how it works. Bat Kohen Yisrael, it's a Bat Kohen, who's a Chereshit, who marries a Yisraeli, Pasila, why? Dakanya, but Dakanta de Rabbanan. After all, this Bat Kohen was now betrothed with Kiddushin, that true are de Rabbanan, but nonetheless Kiddushin, to Yisrael, who's a Cheresh. She's not a Cheresh. The man is a Cheresh. Bat Yisrael, the Kohen, he, and let's say it's the opposite, let's say she's a Bat Yisrael, who now accepted Kiddushin Cheresh from a Kohen. Lomachil, why? Because Kinyan Kaspar Machman of Ahilab Bar Kinyan. Because the Torah only enables someone to be the generator of his wife eating if she's Kinyan Kaspo. And he's not a Bar Kinyan, which is exactly the reason that they set this up. So either a Chereish relationship will not generate Achila Truma. So everyone should have a wonderful day. Mirtz Hashem, we will continue and pick up at this point and to the end of the Sugya at the bottom of Daf Samach Teremot Aleph. And then there will be a relatively short podcast to complete the pair.